Welcome to Bounce Back. My name is Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events and you're listening in on DRN1. Bounce Back is a fun talkback show and today we have Perth-based comedians and a show with a show called Goat King Writers Club. Welcome to the show, Sean Conway, Nathan Hull and Brian Gaya. Is that... No, I'm saying.
Oh,
is it
Gara?
Gara.
Actually, Gara. We never bothered to learn your last name.
That's terrible.
You don't need to. B Dog is fine.
But that's totally your new nickname.
I swear, we just actually recorded that about what? How many times? Six times, guys.
Oh, you couldn't get out of Goat King, and you totally stuffed up Brian's name.
Yeah, I did, but we're going for it now, so let's just roll. All right, guys, so how did you guys form Goat?
Goat King?
Drinking around a fire, pretty much, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like all great things?
During COVID or?
Yeah.
Just before, okay. Technically.
Well, when we're allowed to. Like the designated drinking period that the government gave us, that's when we came together to drink and come up with the idea. Now, you talk about your writing history and stuff.
Oh, I've always been a writer, I suppose. I've written lyrics in bands and I write stories and poetry and stuff pretty much because I know it kills time and it's good fun and I enjoy it. And, Sean, we were getting drunk around a fire and I was like, we should start a writing podcast. And I was like, yeah, fuck, why not? It's a good enough idea, so pretty much
it's great.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to do the complete opposite. Like, in my mind, like, writers are, like, scarf-wearing and cob pipe and, like, real arrogant. And it's like, I want to do the opposite of that.
All right.
And then that's kind of what we did. So we started just drinking, writing, and just drawing dumb pictures. and now we're seven episodes in and we're killing it. So,
And a name change?
Oh, we've had three name changes.
Abuse from religious fanatics.
Oh, yeah, we got abuse from... Yeah.
We're living at large.
I listened to that one today, actually. That was interesting.
Yeah. Well, because when we posted it, regional Queensland people thought Goat King was like some satanic
sort of
thing. And it was just hilarious having banter with people that just found what they were looking for. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You know, what
made you call it Goat King, though?
It was called Shivers Regal, which is a drink that Hunter S. Thompson used to drink.
Yeah.
He'd drink Shivers Regal all day, do coke all day, and smoke Dunhills all day. And it was kind of like, that's the sort of vibe that we're going for. You know, we want to kind of get messed up and write some dumb stories. And Shivers is Spanish for female goat, and Regal's like, curse?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Kings. I don't know.
Kings. Yeah, fuck it. Kings. Kings to do.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Goat King.
Okay. So you started this, is it a few months old and then?
It's about 7 weeks old. We started it pretty much the week that we first recorded.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
But it was pretty good. Like, I told Hull, like, oh, I wouldn't mind doing this idea for a podcast. And he was like, yeah, I'm keen. And, like, 4 days later, we're in the studios recording the first episode. So, we got the ball moving very fast.
You did.
Which I appreciate. Otherwise, I would have been sitting on the couch like, you know, it'd be a good idea if we brought up that podcast and we talked about the fire back.
Well, we had talked about a podcast ages ago. You're going to do a haunted
haunted house podcast. Which is a terrible idea because I hate ghosts. And I did one episode with Sugar De Jour as the guest.
Wow.
And then after that, I was like, nah, I've got no time for this.
You could have
actually
done that in the Kalamunda Hotel. You know it's haunted.
Yeah, I know.
We could have got you up there.
Yeah, no. Like, even researching potential haunted spots, we had to get a place that was not haunted but looked creepy just for my own mental health.
So it didn't freak you out.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so, Sean, you've been a comedian for how long now?
8 years now.
8 years.
Yeah.
And Nathan, I've
been a comedian for 7 weeks.
7 weeks. Yeah.
7 weeks.
You were just saying as well, your background is in punk.
Yeah, music bands. Punk, gypsy punk, all sorts of bands around Perth for the last decade or so. So.
All right. great. And how did you guys meet each other then?
I'll let you tell this. I've told this story on the other podcast. You can tell the story.
Yeah, sure. I still don't believe it because I don't remember it.
I remember it.
Apparently, I tried to beat Sean up when we met, so. Which I don't have any memory of. I wouldn't do that.
So Hull was drunk, and I had slapped his friend in the face because he gave me a nipple cripple. Like, just an open hand one, like, just to let him know that you don't give me nipple cripples. And then whatever happened, we had, like, words or whatever. And then my friends were trying to get me into the kitchen. And then him and his mates came into the kitchen with, like, frying pans and stuff.
Oh.
And ever since that day, like, Hull is, like, a former, you know, Muay Thai fighter and stuff like that. So when a guy who wants to fight you and is capable of fighting you, and doesn't, I mean, they just earn my respect straight away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've been pretty much friends ever since.
That's good. Yeah. So you found a happy medium and, you know, formulated a good relationship, obviously.
Yeah, it didn't take long. Once you start talking to Sean, you're like, oh, fuck it, he's a good guy. So.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, probably because I shudder at the thought of him taking a frying pan too. And the fact that he's a chef now just makes me even more nervous.
Yeah, I fell in love with frying pans that day. Haven't looked back.
Interesting choice of weapon there.
Well, you know, if you want a slight bludgeoning, you don't actually hurt anyone too bad.
Yeah,
you know,
just knock them out fast.
Comedic, like, boom.
I've actually been to a gong session before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Quite similar.
I thought you were saying, like, I've whacked someone in the head with a frying pan before, and it's exactly.
I've cut my sister with a frying pan once. Frying
you cut her?
Yeah, in her arm. How mean's that?
Well, it's a good effort.
Yeah, it's a good effort. I don't know how that's even physically possible.
Right, my mum got us back. She made us stand at the front of the yard, hugging each other in front of all the neighbours with a wooden spoon.
Don't hit your sister, I'll beat you with this. And the neighbours will see.
Move the wrong way. All right, what was the biggest learning curve that you guys have had? Maybe use the comedian and maybe in your punk.
In what sense? As far as the podcast goes?
Or
in general?
In general, biggest learning curve or bomb on stage, we can go from there.
Probably this week. You've seen what's been going on in my life at the moment. Should we talk about that? Or?
Oh, you can if you like.
Oh, yeah. I got someone tried to cancel me for being fat and helpful.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you don't know?
I don't know this. Sorry.
Yeah, someone came up to me. I didn't come up to me, but like wrote that I was in a danger on the scene because of my large size, and I gave unsolicited advice.
Oh.
And then I called him out, like, so you've just fat shamed me. And it's the most ridiculous thing. And it's also the worst thing because you say, like, people try to cancel you for being fat and helpful. It's like, nah, there has to be something more to it than that. And it's not. That's not the worst thing. It's like, nah, he did something else. But, yeah.
Wow.
So it's...
how did you handle that, Sean?
Well, the same way I handle being called fat all the other times. It's just like, go fuck yourself.
I think I better have a look at it because I missed that.
I left that thread. Okay. It was just...
It was going nowhere.
It was just like, all right, it's...
They're just bullying you, really, weren't they?
No. No, it kind of just made me realise, okay, like, I'm kind of above this.
Yeah, good.
I'm not, but I should be, because I keep messaging people, like, what's the latest gossip in that room?
So did you actually legitimately leave that group?
Yeah, I left.
Wow, yeah. Okay. Yeah, good on you. That's you know, yeah.
Yeah, for someone that loves the gossip as much as I did. Yeah. But it all kicked off because I disagreed with one thing and it's just like I'm the worst person in the world now and it's just like, well.
Wow.
That's how it is, I guess. But
sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
No, laugh away. It's funny.
It's and
don't let my fatness
immature side of me, okay?
Don't let my fatness and advice make you feel uncomfortable.
I've always found you very approachable, Sean. So. what's been the best moment during the show then for you guys?
I think for me it was probably watching last week's episode came out because it was just a bunch of like weeks and weeks of trying to figure out what hit.
Yeah.
And then I think last week's episode was like, okay, well, I think we've got a good base to build on from this, you know.
Is that when you got the religious fanatics on board, Bart?
That's probably, they probably go hand in hand, I think.
Spurred us on. Because when it started, it was just me and Sean for the first three episodes.
Three or four,
and we were recording in a music rehearsal space, and it was a pretty low budget. I mean, it's still low-ish budget, but compared to what it was now, it's like a fucking masterpiece. So, you know, that's been great to get, like, take those steps further and get Brian on board and kind of get a better, more cohesive product together.
Mm. Yeah, plus we got the green screen, which also throws ridiculous. Brian under the bus because it's like, yeah, put an emu on the screen, Brian.
Yeah, Brian and works way harder than either of us, to be honest. Like.
We don't know what's going on. It's just like, just put it back there, Brian. You know, but it is fun, and it's weird being involved, and then because in the room that we're in, it's just like a green room with, you know, a couple of chairs, and then when Brian's finished with it and it gets sent out, it's like this crazy library with all, and it's just like,
I love it.
You know, so we get to sit back and watch it as fans as well. So that's, you know, it's a cool thing to be a part of.
Oh, very much so. It does look really cool, actually. It looks like Schmick,
hey? I know.
Well done.
We don't deal with no rubbish.
Yeah. Okay, so who are your biggest influencers then?
In what?
Comedy-wise or writing-wise?
You might answer this. I'll have a think.
Musically as well.
Yeah, I mean, musically there's a lot. And some that comes from writing, like Shane McGowan, the singer of the Pogues, lyrically is a fucking genius and painted the most amazing sort of pictures with his lyrics, and that inspired me a lot. Like when although I was playing punk music, I always put a lot of effort into my lyrics and prided myself on having good lyrics and great stories and stuff. What I thought anyway. I don't know if everyone else would agree, but you know, I try hard. And so people like that really influenced me. There's a book, The Confederacy of Dunces, and I should know who wrote it, but I've completely forgotten.
O'Toole?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know. Anyway.
Can you look?
Look it up for us, Brian.
I feel like now I'm back on our podcast. Yeah, can like, you look that up for us?
Usually I just read autobiographies and stuff of musicians and actors and stuff, and then he's the first time I'd read a book that was a fiction novel and was like, this is fucking amazing. So
The backstory of, what's his name?
Oh, he's Tool. Checking on the foreign.
John here. Kennedy Tool. There you
John
go.
Kennedy. Yeah, it's actually interesting because Hull got me onto reading this book. I haven't started yet, but I accidentally I found it because they want to turn it into a movie, and it's all my comedy idols were meant to be playing the lead actor. What's the lead character's name?
Ignatius Reilly.
Yeah, it was like John Candy was approached to play this.
John Belushi
and Chris Farley.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's kind of a cursed role for lead actors, you know. But he's... his story is pretty interesting and kind of tragic. He had a trouble. Did you know his backstory?
I know he killed himself before the book got big.
Oh, wow.
Well, he killed himself before he actually got published. And his mum read the book and went to different writing houses saying, read my son's book. It's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Which is like any mum would say that, you know, like just being biased. And one dude was like, oh, fuck, all right. I'll read a couple of pages, and when it's no good, I'll say, like, it's not that good. And he kept reading it, and he was like, this is one of the best books I've ever read. And then he published that, and then he published another one of his books that I can't think of. It was
I'm not sure.
The Velvet or something like that. So they pretty much – so it was his mum's hustling that got his book for everyone to read. And it's actually, like, It's like, well, how would you describe it? It's like,
it's like Southern literature, like New Orleans style, that real American Southern literature, and it's like a sort of like it's very funny,
yeah,
but it's very like it's not tragic. Tragic's the wrong word, but it's like it's funny in ways that if he was a real person, it wouldn't be funny. It's well, yeah.
I haven't fully read it yet. I haven't actually started. I've just looked behind. I've just looked at the cheat sheets, but they are. From what I've heard, it's like a very much a Archie Bunker sort of character. Like
okay.
Pretty. Oh, he's like, a horrible character, but you can't help but love him. Like yeah. he's yeah. so fucking wild.
Politically incorrect, just says whatever he wants, yeah. but has like that sort of charm about it. Kind of like me.
Just hyping yourself up for that next movie role. There, yeah, bro.
For my next cancellation.
I was going to say, perhaps that influenced you on the drug group. You never know.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, so what is your creative process like?
We get drunk and go. Yeah. Pretty much.
What's your drink of choice?
Usually not VB. That's what we're drinking today.
Yeah.
Usually we're drinking Jameson's when we're recording.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Jameson's. Because it was called the Shivers Regal Writers Club, and like after about two episodes, we're like, this is fucking disgusting. Like, I'm not, we're not going to keep drinking this. So we kept the bottle and just put Jameson in the bottle. So we're just drinking Jameson and just saying, this is some delicious Shivers Regal we have got right here. And then now, we just pretty much drink whatever we want.
We usually take a day, a week, where we'll kind of smash out both our stories and our art because we're both busy.
Yeah.
And go, fuck it, you got one day to do your full story, your 99-word story and your artwork. And so you can definitely tell weeks where you're under stress or under pressure and they just you just fail. Like we both have definitely failed at times with our, with our stories. But that kind of adds to the show because it's you got to write something every single week, which is a lot harder than
well, that was probably one of the other learning curves is like I wrote like a 2,500-word, maybe 3,000-word story. Oh, yeah, it was fucking
ridiculous.
And then when it came to reading it to him, it was like 15 minutes and I was just like just boring. Like it was an interesting read, but it was a boring read
on a podcast. Out loud.
Like it was like something that you just had to sit down and read. So we both put like a 500-word cap on our short stories and then like you try to build the atmosphere and stuff and then you realize you're 300 words in and this story has to wrap up.
Yep.
So a lot of convenient things happen for it. You know, so I had one space mobsters and the whole thing that he had to blow up the spaceship and he just came across a nuclear bomb that NASA maintenance left on board. Like, it's just these sort of coincidences. That
just a lot of real stupid, convenient, ridiculous endings. And I usually just write myself into a corner and just finish it with no real, nothing really is resolved. It's like, nah, fuck it, that'll do.
But it does make the stories,
fun.
I think a bit fun and funny, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and plus, it's also. You have to rewrite them or you just.
We try not to because one of the. Because we. The podcast is also to kind of not really inspire, but say, like,
anyone can write.
Yeah. Just, you know, we don't let grammar get in the way of a good yarn sort of thing. So if you got your stories, why are you shaking your head at me, Brian?
He's American, man. They love grammar.
You never let grammar get in the way. That's true.
Yeah.
We definitely don't.
Shut up, man. So it was kind of like that, like, just to say, like, don't put limits on yourself, just like get the work done.
Have either of you ever done barefaced stories?
No.
That's actually a really good thing to do as well if you wanted to expand on the story thing.
You know what's a really good thing?
Yeah.
Go King Writers Club.
I'll agree.
No, I love Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew's amazing.
We've also got a great Instagram and Facebook page. Oh,
well, you can promote that later because I do ask you about that.
Brian just Brian just put up a little thing telling us to plug our stuff.
We'll get there, Brian. Okay?
Producing.
Don't you worry. I do ask for that. Sean, can I ask you a little bit about how canned comedy started? Because you've been amazing with the work that you've given out to the community, how you've helped homeless people and stuff. So how did you start that?
It's a while ago. I don't know if you know this. I've walked away from canned comedy.
No, I didn't know. So
thanks for bringing it up.
Well, you started it.
I started it. It was a start. to from doing gigs for charities, I always found that the rules that were put in place, like censored, like felt very censored, and the shows weren't fun, and it was just, I don't know. So with Canned Comedy, I kind of wanted to make a charity gig cool, you know, where it was more about the comedians, and then the charity side of it was just the added bonus.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was successful. And then, but, you know, I've walked away from it now.
Okay. Are you going to tell us why? No.
I could.
He's helping me these days instead.
I could. It was, no, I've had a lot of personal stuff. So I'm not, my opinions on charity has changed. Okay. If that's, if that makes sense, you know, where I'll leave it at that, because it's not the most friendly of answers, but it's, you know, it's what I'm going to be true. So I got other stuff to go on. So yeah,
you did do a great job, but and yeah,
emphasised on the did, because I don't do it anymore.
Okay, you do a great job, and I think just everything else is seasoned as well. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay for seasons to end. So
yeah,
yeah. Oh, well done on the
week. I mean, they're still kicking on, I think, but yeah, I'm not involved. So you should check it out. Just don't expect to see me there. Okay.
Okay. Point taken. All right. I've got some random questions for you guys.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
If you were a character in a book or a TV show, who would it be and why?
You go first.
Fuck, I have no idea. Hey, that's throwing me, really.
I've got questions who will would
be,
throw you.
Sorry, what was the question again? Who would, okay, so what if character you were would
a
be?
If you could be a character in a book or a TV show, who would it be and why?
Well, in a book, it would have to be Jesus.
Okay, and why?
Because he did some cool shit. Like, he, like, actually, he wasn't that cool. He hung out with, like, lepers and stuff, so maybe not. Well, but he had, like, a couple of cool magic tricks, and I've always been a big fan of, like, Penn and Teller. So, it's like, you know, you think that's cool. Wait till I turn this water into wine, bro. You're going to love this trick. So maybe Jesus and TV show.
Ignatius Riley, bro. That's not a TV show, but that's your future.
Who?
Iggy, Ignatius Riley, future movie.
Yeah.
Future movie star.
That's if I can survive long enough to do it. Everyone else that was...
Well, if I was a book character, I'd be Judas, because I'm just making you now try and die before your before your big break. So I'm going to go with Judas.
So you can take all the money for yourself.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man.
TV show character... yeah, I'm not sure. That's always... because I'm a big movie nerd, so it's always like...
What about movie then? What's your favourite movie?
Oh, that's an even harder one. It's always chopping and changing.
Probably Batman.
Batman, I like Batman. Yeah, probably The Dark Knight would have to be up there. Like, I've never been more, and I never anticipated a movie that much and wasn't disappointed.
Mm.
You know, usually it's like, oh, really? They went in that direction? Oh, okay. But, like, The Dark Knight was, like, lived up to every expectation that I had and surpassed it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But
okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to be Batman, though.
Batman's wicked.
Yeah.
I've already told you I want to marry Batman, so.
Maybe Adam West Batman, because he got to dance and stuff. And
yeah, 1960s. He went to, like, shark spray Batman.
Catwoman's always trying to crack onto him and stuff. You know. Except he had that, like, annoying little kid Robin. What was it?
Yeah, Robin.
But what's his name? Bert, do you know Robin's name? Do you know the story? But. This is where the nerd side of me comes out.
I've watched the Avengers series and Robin's in there.
In the Avengers series?
I think so. Am I wrong?
Yep.
Have I totally stopped
that? Yeah, because.
No, who is it?
Because that's all Marvel and Batman is DC.
Okay.
But Burt Young?
Dick Grayson?
It's Spider-Man,
that's the, that's Robin. But the guy that played Adam West is Robin.
Okay.
Because So this is how much of a Batman nerd I am. Okay. Is that I know from, like, watching a bunch of, like, here's 10 facts you didn't know about Batman, was that apparently Robin had, like, a huge dong on him, and he was a real estate agent, and he hooked up with the producer of the Batman show, and that's the only reason why he became Robin, was because he had a big old Wang.
That's pretty Hollywood, eh?
Yeah.
Okay,
hey, so you asked the random questions. You get the random answers.
I don't know
what to say. So often we end up talking about huge dicks, Conway. Your drawings, Robin, it happens too often, man.
Yeah, well,
there you go.
I like Batman. That's
where it came from. If you want to see the recent one, check out Jerry and the new drawing in this week's episode coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry? Sonia?
No, Jerry's Sonia's friend.
Isn't he? Oh, yeah.
That was Burt Ward.
Conway likes drawing nudity. On our show.
What's that?
You like drawing nudity for our show. I can't
draw boobs.
You can't draw boobs?
No.
You can't do two.
It's like half an eight.
It is half an eight. What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
I think you're going in the right direction.
Maybe I need some more shadow when I sleep. Yeah, there we go. There's some
Conway's kind of art for you to have a quick check of.
See, her boobs look weird.
Yeah, it looks like a neckline.
Yeah. Okay. Like she's like a superhero with a W on her chest.
Yeah, it does.
It's for a woman.
Yeah.
Okay. I think maybe don't connect it to the neckline. And then just
But
leave
she's also wearing it, like a like a tank top almost.
Okay. It looks like a tank. It looks like a wrestler's suit actually.
Yeah.
We might have to post this photo so people know what we're talking about.
That was actually one of my favourite stories.
Yeah, it was a ripper.
Sonia one. But
and is that coming up next week, did you say?
That'll be out whenever Brian gets his shit together and puts it out.
Okay.
Brian.
It should be tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. That's fast turnaround.
We'll have to link the show onto this one then so people can watch. That'd be cool.
Did we record that last night?
Yeah.
I was drunk.
Yeah.
This episode would be interesting. Quite drunk. I was drunk, hey.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought you were very inappropriate in the last episode, and then I'm just because he kept mentioning that I was getting cancelled the whole time, and I'm like, I'm not sure if I really want to get on the air, and it's like, well, I can't really not address it on this show. He's already thrown me under the bus on our show last night, so I was like, oh well,
what are friends for?
That's one of the learning experiences I got from this show is just to roll with the punches and adapt.
Oh, if you're dealing with me, you're gonna, it's gonna be some bullshit said. So.
I like it. Do you beat each other up? Each other up much on this show or no?
What's that?
Do you beat each other up much?
No, we're usually just laughing at each other's shit because it's all goofy.
Yeah.
But last night I was getting a bit pissed off because he was like, hey, Sean, you got any advice for me? No, stop it, bro. You've got to stop it.
But you could have reversed the roles there and, sort of said, Brian, what is the... Or Nathan, what is the wrong way around there? What would you do in that situation? And ask him how he would play it out. So what would you do?
I'll just start going to get fucked.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay, how would you feel about doing that?
Telling him to get fucked?
Yeah.
I think I did.
I think you did by leaving.
No, don't say it like that because it makes me sound like a coward. It was just like...
I wouldn't think that.
No, but it's just... Well, I just accused her of fat shaming me. That was the thing. She accused me of being like big and intimidated, and I was just like, "Are you seriously fat shaming me right now?" And then they all backpedaled, and then I had a giggle to myself.
Which is a win. That's the best way to do it. So.
All right. So, what is the dumbest way you've been injured?
Well, fuck.
Slapping Hull's friend in the face and nipple proof. dumbest way. I broke my knee as a kid playing roller basketball.
What is that?
Which is a sport we made up in our backyard. And fell over pretty badly and, did the kneecap in like an egg. So I cracked it in half.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
I have heaps. I'll rattle off a real quick list.
Yeah, go on.
I put a staple in my head. And I was drunk and I hit a staple in my head like, that'd be a good party trick.
Oh my God.
And we couldn't find the staple and I was like, oh, it must have fallen out. And a week later it was looking kind of infected and my friend put a electrician's magnet on it. It was like, the staple is still in your head and it actually stuck in my skull and I had to get it pulled out. And it was so infected that they were like, if you'd left that another 2 days, you would have gone blind. That was a good one. I fell through a stack of pint glasses to end my 21st birthday and cut straight through my artery and three tendons and ended up in intensive care for a while, which is good. used to have a game.
Cut off your hand, weren't they?
They were going to cut my hand off for quite some time. So I just still don't have full movement in that
Did
hand.
Did they use leeches to get the blood?
That would have been good.
Well, he said he was a gypsy once, and all of a sudden.
Yeah, I didn't actually go to the gypsy medical centre. I went to several hospitals.
Yeah, your hand sore because of dark spirits.
Wow. And going on Conway's backyard thing, me and my little brother used to play a game where you'd have to hop on one leg.
Yeah.
And you couldn't use your hands, but you'd just kick each other as hard as you could in the head. And he kneed me and fractured my sternum, which was so painful. But so, yeah, that's three real quick ones out of about a minute.
I will validate my leech thing because I used to work for a meat marketing company, and a man with a hoofer that chops off animals' hooves cut his whole hand off, and they reattached his hand and they used leeches to get the blood circulation back through.
Huh.
So medically they do that. So, yeah.
Mine was just, it took a lot of rehab and work to be able to use my hand again.
Yeah.
Ended my Muay Thai career. There you go.
Yeah. Did it have full
Yeah, I did at that. Not quite. I still got a bit that I missed, but.
Wow.
But yeah, I could have gone back to fighting, but I couldn't be fucked after 6 months out. I was like, oh, fuck that.
He was in hospital with like hand casts, like in Doctor Strange. And then he went into like Tibetan temples asking, how do I fix my hands? How do I fix my hands?
The truth is, laid there and got addicted to Tramadol.
Wow. So how long ago did you injure your hand?
That was 12 years ago, I think. So.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so I still can't like give thumbs up or open my hand fully.
And you do Muay Thai still?
No. I fought before that. Then I took quite a while off. I did go back and train, but... I got lazy, really. And then I started getting really deep into music after that. So it ended up being the right thing to do because I had a great 10 years or so touring and having fun with music and instead of getting kicked in the head.
Well, if you watch our podcast, the opening track to our episodes is...
Oh, yeah, it's one of my old bands.
Yeah.
That's me singing on that one. So,
okay.
Yeah. Is that
Ruckus? You have a good voice, yeah.
That's Scrimshaw Raw.
Scrimshaw Raw. Yeah. Okay. Self-absorbed.
Yeah.
And it's that good is that whenever we've tried to get on iTunes, it's like a copyright infringement. It's like,
yeah, I get copyright infringement against myself.
This can't be yours, man. This can't be yours. But hopefully it's up there soon.
Yeah.
And for more information, you should go to our Instagram and follow me.
Another thumbs up. Oh, okay. What's the worst thing you've ever eaten then?
Hull's cooking.
Really?
Oh, he's fuck a
chef.
Come on.
Worst thing I've ever eaten. Oh, fuck, you've eaten more than me.
Oh, man. Again, I've got like so many that I could rattle off. Again, quickly, I ate crocodile at like 3 a.m. in Thailand.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, don't eat from that stand. There's like cockroaches and rats and shit everywhere. And I was like, fuck it. Like, I want to eat that crocodile. And I got halfway through it and was like, I was so drunk that it took me a while to realize that the meat was rancid. The sauce is really strong, so.
Oh my god! I was eating it. I wish people could see my face right now.
We had to fly out the next day, and I was like, I thought I was going to die. Wow. I was so fucking sick for so long.
I was going to ask how drunk you were.
I was fucking drunk. Eh? But
you should listen to your wife.
I don't ever. This is why these things happen to me.
Wow.
Yeah, that was terrible. That was like because I've been like through Southeast Asia heaps and never gotten sick, and I was just like, I'm invincible. And, I got a real harsh reality check to the point that I was so sick the next day I was drinking gin and tonics I was like, that'll settle my stomach. And I was eating all these Thai painkillers and I was in the airport hallucinating. So someone's phone was ringing and I thought it was the lolly wrappers next to me. They were like lighting up and moving around. I was just like, holy shit.
Oh, that's scary.
And Thai airport's not a good place to light your own fucking heroin. So.
No, it's not a good place to get arrested, that's for sure.
Well, I was going to say pumpkin.
Pumpkin can be terrible.
I don't like pumpkin.
Is it because of like they scare you, like Halloween pumpkins?
No, I've never liked it. Like, I love mashed potato, man, but like pumpkin.
Yeah, but you can't compare the two.
No, that's why I don't like pumpkin.
My stepmom used to fucking cheap out. Like, not cheap out, but she would like trick us and be like, yeah, it's mashed potato, and it'd be half mashed pumpkin. And be like, it's fucking not mashed potato.
I do that with my kids.
Oh, it's the worst. Don't do that to their kids. Don't do it. That's child abuse. I
use whole grain mustard, which is great.
That's good.
I know.
But just leave potato as potato.
Oh, man.
Well, I remember the first time I heard about sweet potato, I was like, what the? Like, there's like candy potato? Fucking get me on this. And then it was... Lone Star. Do you remember Lone Star on South Street? and came out there. I was like, motherfucker, this is pumpkin. This is pumpkin. I was like $10 for like this giant thing of, and I was like, no, I'm not having.
It's not candy.
And it was just, that was like the complete opposite of my experience with the Dark Knight. Like I was so hyped up for this candy potato, and was just bitterly, bitterly disappointed the whole time. That's when, how that wasn't one of the biggest fire hazards in WA.
What, Lone Star itself?
Lone Star had all like the wood chippings on the floor and shit.
The peanut shells.
Peanut shells, yeah. You didn't want to wear heels in there. It was manky.
You didn't want to be in there, period. But no, they used to be pretty good, I thought.
Lone Star?
I think I went there once.
It's old, man. It was a long time ago.
It was.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm bringing up old shit, bro.
Yeah. Is that the problem? Yeah, I'm trying to act like we're still 22 here, man. You go, come on.
You're saying plug stuff. Are we on iTunes now? We are on iTunes.
Since when?
A few weeks now. We got approved in days.
Well, why the fuck weren't we told about this? This is.
I told you guys. I sent screenshots.
We were meant to have like a party where it was like we made it. We made it onto iTunes.
I thought you were just waiting to do it. We're on there. We're on everywhere. Everywhere you can listen to a podcast.
We can party now.
Well, we are.
You've got beers, you can celebrate.
This is the best unpaid commercial ever, by the way, the whole episode.
You can just like cheers.
Hey, if you're out there, we're on iTunes.
No, I am not. I'm all right. Thank you. It's VB. I mean, come on.
This has been a...
I just wanted to see Brian buy a VB. Like, very Brian.
It was hard to find it. I wasn't sure what the bottle looked like. So.
Yeah, have you tasted it, Brian?
Yes.
It's not great.
No, it's not.
That's actually shit beer, but...
I'm pretty chuffed about that. We're on iTunes, man.
That's very cool.
Sorry, I didn't mean to let it slip by, but we're on iTunes.
Literally,
Spotify.
I've been asking all the time, like when are we on iTunes?
I thought you were joking last time we asked, because yeah, we're up. All episodes are up right now, live.
We're gonna have to have a meeting after this.
We can have it on air if you want.
We are. We're ruining this show.
We're having a meeting right now. No, it's all right.
Next random question. What's the vibe like on the set of...
Behind the scenes. What's a common myth about being a performer then? And I guess relate it back to...
That people like you.
Really? They don't like you?
No, everyone likes me.
Oh, probably money.
Yeah, money's a big myth.
You know, just because you're headlining a room doesn't mean it's like, oh, this guy must be rolling in it. And it's like... I had to drive the other comedians to this gig. Like if I was rolling it, I would have my own chauffeur.
I think that's the thing, but even on the other side, people assume that, like Nicole and I run in my events, they assume we're rolling in as well, and we're not.
No.
It's a lot of free hours going into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we do it for love. Like, you probably do
it
for
with
love.
The Cannes Comedy stuff, it was a lot of free work.
Yeah.
You know, but it was for a good cause, so.
Yeah, it was for a really good cause.
It was all right, I suppose.
We're hitting on a sore spot here.
He's
I could give you the reason why I don't do charity anymore, but you won't like the answer.
I could disagree with you. We could debate this.
Nah.
It's all right. I think I've told you why.
You've already been cancelled once this week,
haven't you? I've told you why I don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't think I should tell
him? Well, it's up to you, man.
Yeah, when Hull says, probably not, it's probably best that I don't. No, I'll tell you off air, but it's not something I'm keen to make public.
No, that's okay. I will chat to you after.
Fuck, now like the me being cancelled, I make it sound even shadier. Like, this, know, why does
it's
this
not,
guy
want to work with
Who
terrible,
am I sitting next to?
It's nothing
to
terrible. It was just an outlook on stuff.
It's okay. We can change perspectives. That's good. All right. What was your favorite toy as a child?
Ninja Turtles all day, every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you got into fighting as well. Is that what inspired
you?
Yeah.
Well, in your wall, those two guys were my trainers, Jack Della and Ryan Gray.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah, so the next time you see those dudes, you can think of me getting knocked out in the first round.
So Ninja Turtles. Which one was your favourite?
I always loved Bebop.
Bebop, did you?
Yeah, because I thought it was like the coolest thing ever. He wore like a... It was, well, was very punk.
It was punk as fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Like the nose rings and the glasses and the mohawk.
Yeah, the boar, wasn't it?
Yeah, like the pig one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bebop and Rocksteady.
I loved Michelangelo, sorry.
Yeah, everyone loved Michelangelo. There was just something... Because I grew up in a bad area and like Bebop kind of represented like the cool kids in our area, which were... they're all pieces of shit looking back on it. they all had that like 80s, early 90s sort of denim short sleeve cut off jackets, you know, and all, you know.
He scared me.
Bebop.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I thought you were asking me the questions, but what? Shaming me for my Ninja Turtle choices?
No, it's cool. It's cool. It's good.
Yeah, I always thought he was cool. But yeah, Michelangelo and all them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I still, because we sold all my Ninja Turtles when I was, you know, a kid. And then when I started making money, I brought them all back.
Did you?
Yeah, I got all of them. It's sad. It's so sad.
You still got them?
Yeah. That's it's what decorates my office.
That's really cool. What about yourself?
I don't know. I had like heaps of like G.I. Joes and stuff like that, I suppose. I didn't play with toys a heap. Like, funnily enough, becoming a musician later, I used to get all my teddies when I was like, I must have been like 6 years old.
What, from Get Well Soon when you were in hospital for broken sternums?
Yeah, I had lots of them for those reasons. Now I'd get them and grew up in quite a musical family and household, and like we're listening to kind of punk music and stuff from quite a young age, and I'd be like maybe six and get all my teddies out and pretend to play concerts to them, but it was always like Nirvana and like the Clash and bands like that, which my 6 year olds probably aren't screaming along to, but that was like, I used to love doing that, so I suppose that kind of carried on to being a show off arsehole on stage. Cool. So yeah, but that's what my memory of playing with toys when I was a kid was always like, I didn't have anyone to listen to me, so I just get
you
a hockey stick.
You said Nirvana, so were you like is that the 90s you're talking about here?
Yeah, well, I was born in 86, so it must have been like early 90s, like 93, so 7 years old.
Didn't he knock himself off
94. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
90s is a great music bar.
Oh,
fantastic.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes and no. The 90s are confusing, hey? There's like...
No, but even the shit 90s,
well, that's
music
the thing.
Is, like, mate,
is so nostalgic.
It was ahead of its
great
time.
Like Ace of Base. Like, come on,
what
man
was Ace of Base? The
Ace of Sun. Yeah.
We remember it, but...
Yeah.
Catchy.
Yeah, it was fucking great. Really, yeah.
So. What was that hillbilly song? They used to always play it at Rollaways.
Joe?
Yes.
Yeah. See,
always played at Rollaways, and like it would be that game where like you had to go to the corner.
Yeah.
And when the music stopped, you had to race to the corner. It was like musical chairs.
Yeah.
And then it'd always be that song.
See, the 90s was wild for music because you had like this hardcore techno for a real brief time was like top fucking 20 music.
Yeah, it still is, like Moby and Fatboy Slim and all.
No,
that.
I mean like fucking like Here's Johnny and like the real like
it was wicked.
Hardcore fucking techno.
That was about Craig and Wrong, about 93, 94.
Yeah.
I started moving to rave stuff then.
Yeah, and then like Prodigy come out kind of on the back of that. And
Here's Johnny, was that kind of to the X-Files?
No, they had their own.
Yeah.
That was for the Mortal Kombat movie. I'm pretty sure they did that. Yeah. Hey? Yeah.
That wasn't... They changed the lyrics from all the drugs that they kept saying. It was like cocaine.
Yeah. They made them the fucking Mortal Kombat characters.
Yeah. Is it also Guns N' Roses and all? All that in the early 90s and
And plus, that was a big thing on Terminator 2 was the Guns N' Roses soundtrack. Yeah.
Nostalgia.
That's all right.
Well, what about you? Let's ask you some questions.
I'll go for it.
What was your favourite song from like the 90s?
Oh, geez. I did transition. I love Guns N' Roses. So November Rain, you know, very classical there. And then...
I can actually picture you in like the blue flannel and the ripped jeans.
I had Doc Martens and undercut.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
With lightning bolts or train tracks?
No. But I was really, really grunge. And then I actually transitioned into rave scene massively and loved dancing.
Which so many people did back then. I mean, I was too young.
Yeah.
To go from grunge to rave a few
Was that
years,
like the black pants with the high-vis stripes?
No, extremely short dresses. And I used to wear my short shorts underneath and podium dance. So, you know, massive, massive heels for me.
A lot of ecstasy?
No. I was always straight. I did drink a bit. And then that's how I ended up meeting a lot of DJs.
I couldn't imagine living like that.
Yeah. No, I've seen a lot of people stuff up on drugs, so I...
Me too, but still.
Not freaking out too much. Seeing them in hospital.
You just got to back yourself, hey?
I thought you were just more the conversation. It's like, it's weird having a conversation when their jaw's gone left to right.
Not if yours is matching it, though.
And that's where a lot of the rhythms come.
And you're both having two completely different combos, but no one gives a shit. It's fucking great.
No, I didn't really get into like 90s music until Slipknot and Korn and all. I was like a little
new metal kid.
Yeah, Fred Durst, little fat Fred Durst walking around with like a Dickie shorts and Fred Girth, piece of shit. But yeah, no, that was great. And I only found out like 3 years ago that POD was a Christian new metal.
They would hate our show.
Yeah.
There you go.
They're probably the ones that were messaging us.
Yeah. Look, Brian's shocked in the corner. They're from America, Brian. Don't be so shocked. You're all bloody fucking religious.
No, yeah. I knew Switchfoot. I used to listen to Switchfoot. And what was that other one that's released? 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking. Creed.
Dude, shocking. Horrible.
POD, Creed, Switchfoot. Wow. They're all the same.
POD was a
Were you Christian. From a super middle class American family?
Definitely.
Yeah, I can tell.
Because I had the same reaction to when someone was like, you know, POD. I was like, man, you should put on some POD. That was like a good jam. And he was like, you know, that's like just some Christian new metal shit. And I'm like, nah, it's not, bro. And then he played that Alive. And I'm listening to the lyrics and it's like, I'm so alive for the very first time. I can't deny him. I feel so alive. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Literally.
I like how all three of us so far have sung at one stage today.
But I still like them. They still got some bangers. And they were in like, I'm surprised they let their song be in the Little Nicky movie.
Oh, Money Talks.
Yeah. They probably gave it all to Jesus, I bet you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jesus, he needs a Cadillac, bro.
If you guys could time travel, where would you go to?
Oh, fuck.
When you called me up to come on this podcast, I think. This has been very revealing. probably in the 90s, I think. You can't beat the 90s.
Yeah.
The 90s. Like, I don't think there was a bad year in the 90s. And, like, even for us as Australians, like, after, like, 96, just that anticipation of the Olympics.
Yeah, okay.
Like, it was like, leading into 2000. Yeah. That was pretty And, like, cute. All Kmarts were, like, chock-a-block full of Sydney Olympic merchandise. And And then when it finished after 2 weeks, it was like, that's what we fucking waited 8 years for. Like,
they only gave us the Olympics because the world were like, oh, if Y2K strikes, like, it's only fucking Australia who's missing out on the Olympics.
if the internet was like pumping then as it is now, that dude would have been, you know, the winner is a Sydney. remember that? He didn't even say Sydney correctly.
He would have been a meme.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was the opening ceremony, you know, Nikki Webster.
Nikki Webster,
Do you know how many people ran up to me that night and said, are you related to Nikki Webster?
Yes, I am.
I was like, who are you talking about?
I remember a dude that was like too into Strawberry Kisses. Yeah. Like, who
is that possible, Sean?
Well, it was too much for my liking. I don't know whatever happened to that dude. Because, like, you keep playing Strawberry Kisses, we're not going to be friends, you know.
Well,
I really wish I knew where that story was going before I started. But, yeah, it was just reminding me. Yeah, Nikki Webster. That was a great opening. Like, I could probably still watch that. Oh, and they had Mambo. Mambo was the closing ceremony outfits.
Yeah. That was really cool. Yeah. And then Mambo was really big in, I think, Target or something like that. And they had the Mambo stickers, didn't they?
Oh, no, Mambo was big in proper surf shops and stuff, and then when it hit Kmart and Target, it was like, well, I'm not going to wear this.
I was going to say, Mambo was cool, and then it wasn't cool anymore.
I know, it's a bit sad, isn't it?
There's actually a really good doco on Mambo where it like, talks about the art scene where they come in, and it was like all these artists were like, you drop in your art, and whichever one we want, we'll pay you.
Oh, wow.
So, like, you know, hundreds of people would come in with their Mambo-inspired art. They'd be like, we want this one, and this one. And it was like one dude who was like an absolute nutcase was the same dude that kept getting picked. Because it was like, it was something like, you might remember, it was like a dude mowing his lawn and the sprinklers were like swastikas and it was all sorts of...
pretty wild fucking art, hey?
There was some.
This is Australian culture, Brian. You're looking lost over there, bro.
Have you never seen Mambo before?
Man, we lost him at Strawberry Kisses, bro. We lost him at Nicky Webster.
The only Strawberry F Kisses.
His jaw was still picking his jaw off the ground when he realised POD was a Christian rock band.
I'm shook, man. That's
What's the best advice you've ever been given?
Don't give advice.
Don't fat shame.
Don't fat shame. No, for me... I saw Dave Chappelle at the Comedy Store, and he said, you got to be ruthless with your words and noble in your pursuits.
That's really good.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out what it means. it sounded cool when I heard it. I kind of try to live by that. And Roger Rabbit was another one.
Yeah.
Do you remember Roger Rabbit?
I love Roger Rabbit, yeah.
And there's a scene where... they're handcuffed together. Bob Hoskins and Roger Rabbit are handcuffed together. And he's like, can you just keep still? And he gets out of the handcuffs. And he's like, oh, does this make it easier? And he's there, and he's like, you could have got out of the whole time. And he's like, no, only when it was funny. And it's kind of like the mantra that I have. Yeah. If I'm going to give you shit, it's only going to be when it's funny.
When it's funny. Yeah. That's really cool.
I don't know. Never let grammar get in the way of a good yarn.
Yeah, that's. And if you want to know what he means by that, you can check out Go King on iTunes.
Yeah, I don't know. I've probably been given advice along the lines. I don't really listen to any of it.
Yeah, you take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Yeah.
And what's the craziest thing you guys have ever done?
Oh, not for podcasts, though.
I love... Brian, did you want to chip in here? He's laughing, set up.
The story that Hall told on the Hard Yarns podcast, that was pretty brutal.
Oh, yeah. I've done a lot of really fucking stupid shit.
Okay.
And sometimes I say things on podcasts and stuff, and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have told that story.
It was a good story.
Yeah, well, it's a good yarn, but yeah. So I'm just going to pass that question, I think.
It's a very loaded question you asked.
Really? Okay.
Hey, what's a fucked up criminal thing that you've done never got away with?
No, I've gone away with everything that I've done criminal. Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm here today.
What about you? Yeah, how about you start? Awkward time. How about you start dragging out some of your skeletons out of that closet?
I have in this show quite a few times.
The best advice you ever got?
Well, practice random kindness, I think, and I really do live by that. So, yeah.
So you don't really do proper kindness; you just practice it for like one day. You might get really good at kindness.
I'm pretty kind.
Everything is yin and yang, though. That's why every now and then I just do a terrible day, randomly. Chuck it out there. I go, well, it's balancing out in the world.
That's how the universe works. Yeah.
I've had this thing. Some shit hits me and then some good stuff happens. So I kind of go with that.
Yeah. That's the whole... It's funny you bring that up because that's actually my theory on charity. You're joking, but that's actually what it is.
Give a little, take a little.
Yeah, pretty much, for all the positive you put it, for every positive action, there's an equal and negative reaction. So that's kind of, I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can leave it there.
Yeah.
What's the best thing about you? Or both of you?
How about I answer for Hull and Hull answers for me?
I like that. Ooh. Go on.
You go first.
I like Sean's hat. Nah, you're a fucking, you're a good laugh. You're a good dude. Good to have a beer with. Good to talk shit with, you know. I'm like, comfortable around Sean, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you can tell.
I thought you were going to just start tapping on the plug.
the thing I like most about Sean is he's on this podcast called.
Well, what are you pointing at? No, don't worry. Okay.
Stop evading the question. What do you like about me, Sean? This is couples
therapy. I tell you what, it's what I like about most people is people that have like a blatant line in the sand.
Yeah.
Where it's like you're either this or this. You know, like I'm a nice person until you hit this point and then I'm not anymore.
Okay.
Where mine is always very lucid and changes in direction, where it's like my cousin has it, Hull's got it, you know, a few of my friends in the comedy scene have got it, they've got that straight down the middle line. Once you cross that, then it's, you know, two fingers up at you, like, go fuck yourself sort of thing.
Mm.
Which I never had that, and I always found a characteristic that I wish I had.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so you got
I'm tearing up a little bit here over here.
Well, it's one of your pet peeves?
People that have a line in the sand that's easily crossed and they just blow up at you for no reason. Pet peeve. You go first on this one.
I don't know. I'm pretty crazy. Not a whole lot really bugs me. I hate like families who go shopping and they don't need to all be there. So like if you're in a bottle shop and there's like a dad and a mum and three kids and they're just in the way and they don't need to be there and the kids are crying. Like I used to manage a bottle shop for a long time, so this is a bit of a personal like, ugh. But like they'd come in and just fucking squeal and take up room and make noise and they'd buy like, you know, a stubby of beer and it's like you could have sat in the fucking car with your three really annoying kids because it's a bottle shop.
Yeah.
And not made my day terrible, but they don't. And there's millions of them. They come in nonstop. Like, I call them ugly duckling families. Like, you get, like, a dad, and then it's, like, the mum, and then the three kids, and they get smaller following, and they always look like they've been on a boat, slightly sunburnt, and, you know, they're just a bit, like, disheveled looking, and, like, it's just, you
like
see
like a Mambo that. T-shirt.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's just, like, yeah, ugly duckling families. I fucking hate them, hey. Like, so just do the right thing and kind of give everyone a bit of space. And if you've got to take your kid in the bottle shop, that's fine. But if you've got another parent there, like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
See outside for a second. It's good.
I always hated.
Random pet peeve.
That's the best advice I've ever gotten.
I got so angry.
I hate, and people do it to me just to give me the shits, but like when people genuinely do it, it fucking infuriates me. And that's when someone tells me to shush.
Ah. Okay.
Not be quiet. Not like just. Not shut up.
Like that.
Shh.
Yeah. Shh.
Fuck right off.
It's very rude, isn't it?
Like, I'm an adult. I'm not a child. Like, just tell me to be quiet like a normal fuck. Shh. Fuck you. It's like my fucking pet peeve, you know.
Does your, like, grandma do that to you or something? Or your
mom? No. Oh, no. Like, family? A couple of people who really shouldn't have tried doing it to me, and then I just realised that was a real breaking point for me where I was like, I hate that.
Just grate you the wrong way. Okay.
Yeah. A promoter did it to me once and I never fucking agreed to it. Yeah.
Wow. That's fucking rude though. That's just power tripping.
Shh. Yeah. I'm talking. But like, he did that to me and I was just like, nah, man. Like, you don't. That's a.
See, I'd probably punch someone in the fucking head for that.
Yeah, but like, he was paying. He had to pay.
Yeah, really. Yeah, because it's rude and degrading, and for you to think you're that much better or important than someone, like
that's the line in the sand that I was talking about before. It's like someone shush me, I'll smack him in the mouth.
No, it's okay. Sorry, Are you guys going to leave us with a joke? And I will ask you to plug as well. Don't worry. we've got it covered, Brian. will you guys leave us with a joke, or do you want to do a 99-word story challenge?
Well, I might. Well, we've really talked up our podcast, so I kind of don't know if I want to do the 99-word. It's a bigger...
I've got a 99-word story here, which is actually... when we were talking about the podcast, this is how the idea came about, because it was something that I saw and was like, oh, I'll try that.
Yeah,
and great. I wrote a pretty cool one. And then months later when I'm talking to Sean, I was like, oh, this is like a cool idea. We should do this. So I'll read the original
one,
which hasn't been on any show or anything. But and it's not. I mean, they're 99 words. Sorry, it's not great, but it's exactly 99 words.
Okay.
With no slight amount of shock, I realized my hands had fallen off. This was going to make impressing my date Penelope much harder than I'd anticipated. The waiter glanced over at me with a look of disappointment. He had seen this kind of thing before and knew how it would end. Penelope bounded back from the bathroom, a look of excitement in her eyes. Let's play rock, paper, scissors, she beamed. I reluctantly lifted my stumps. She broke down in tears. I knew you were no good, she screamed and stormed out. Just my luck, I sighed. Silly little ditties, really, aren't they? But that was, that's where the original idea kind of bore up on the show come from.
Yeah, so with our show, we have... We got like two. Did we mention this off camera or on camera? I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, it's okay.
It's a callback in the comedy biz. We call it a callback. we got two jars, and one jar's full of locations, and the other one's full of characters. And each episode, we pull out a different location, a different character, and then like mash them together.
Oh, that's great. Okay. And
so this is my favorite one because it made me giggle the most. The time I wrote it, and it was the topic was, or the character was Fishman, and the location was a time machine. So Fishman and the time machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here it goes. A fisherman noticed a strange figure on the beach. It was an old man holding an esky with an antenna. I see you noticed my time machine, the old man said. That's a time machine, the fisherman thought. I'm going back in time to kill Jesus, said the old man. But as he opened the esky, Jesus appeared through his own time machine and shot the old man with a laser from his penis. Jesus nodded at the fisherman before vanishing into a vortex. The fisherman never spoke of this event, but he did go back in time and kill Hitler.
So, as you can tell, it's a very highbrow show that we're running here.
I just love the variety of accents that you put into that as well.
Yeah, you nailed that character exactly like on our show.
Yeah. It's the same character, just with different dialogue. The penguin's in jail. I was in jail the other day.
Jerry also sounded very similar to that.
Jerry the sex pest. Yeah.
Okay, so do you guys have any shows coming up?
We're actually in trying to work on... making this live. Do you want to, what are we doing, Brian?
Yeah, Brian, what are we doing? Plug our stuff for us.
We have a weekly show on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, everywhere. That comes out Thursday evenings, Friday mornings.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Depending on how good I am about time management.
Depends on how much shit we tell Brian to throw on the green screen.
I'll tell you what, I spend at least 8 hours a week Googling shit that they tell me to Google. My YouTube feed looks terrible right now. but we have some big things in the works for the show, where people might be able to come see us in person.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we have that. We and are going to be having guests on the show at some point coming up. And as well, we have artwork submissions and listener submissions each week. So that 99-word story, the ones they pull out of the jar, and then people send in video submissions that we watch live on the show and react to that. So if you submit something, you get to see it come out later on.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Wait, that old dude wasn't Phil Cook, was it?
I've got no reference to what you're talking about now. This is pre-show we're talking here.
Like, oh, what? Yeah, well, remember that creep you were talking about before we went on the air?
Oh, my God. Phil, no, not you.
No, because...
Because Cookie is pretty creepy.
Nah, creepy is a good
thing. Okay, so we're going to move along. Did you guys want to plug your socials?
No, I'll give a shout-out to Phil Cook comedian on Instagram, because he always sends in stuff and he's almost every like week. The
he's great. Yeah,
yeah, he's the unofficial third member of the Go King Writers Club. So go he check had, him yeah. out.
He's great.
And Michelle Nielsen.
And Michelle Nielsen. Oh man, I think it's like Michelle. Whatever. It's
like Michelle Nielsen 32 on Instagram.
Yeah, I think it's Michelle dot Nielsen 32. Okay, might be wrong. But shouting
out everyone but ours. That's the way to do it. Yeah.
So no, but how can we find you guys on Facebook and Instagram? And YouTube if you want to do that too. Go for it.
You just look up on YouTube, it's just look up Go King Writers Club and you should find it straight away. But Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, what are the other ones? All social media
platforms. On Facebook too.
Facebook, all the major ones, it's all Go King WC.
Okay.
And you should find us.
All right. We'll look you up.
You better.
And if here's you want some more to
penis
see
stories about fishermen. Laser penises.
Yeah.
But couldn't you imagine like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the 80s playing that fisherman character? Or Jesus? I've come back in time to kill you with my laser penis.
That's like the ultimate birth control, which is terrible for me to say that. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I've you guys never done an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression before, and I'm pretty proud of that.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Make sure a story from this week if you want to
read one. What's that?
I'm really bad at reading. Do you want me to read?
Yeah, go.
Yeah. Gosh, this is going to be scary. I can't even say.
Sorry, we can't either. That's the whole point of this.
Maybe I did need that.
Well, not this show. Our show, which has become this show.
Did you have classes or?
No, but I'm just scared that I'm going
to. She's just shaming your story.
So this is a clown in a ride, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And Brian, did you write this or did Nathan write this one?
No, mine would have been way better. Brian wrote this.
Okay.
Just thought I donated someone.
All right, so there's discounts everywhere. I look no matter how many times I blink. I can't believe I'm seeing the smoke clears reality sets in. Am I alive or am I dead? Is that a $10 TV? But did I buy five free? A clown beating a man with a baseball bat? Yep, he's smashing his hands with his trolley full of great deeds. It's not what I expected when I said I was going out for deals on Black Friday.
Oh, that's a good collaboration.
Club.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah, you definitely have to be a guest on our show soon.
I'd rather read it before I read it out loud again.
So, yeah, we don't all the time. Like, we'll get submissions and come over, oh, read that.
Wow.
And she's like, you know, three whiskeys into the show and she's like, oh, fuck.
Slur. Daniel Delby sent one in and it was the best one. It was like, I think it might have been Fishman in the Time Machine.
Yeah, it was.
And it was all about a Tinder date.
Yeah.
Or matching with someone on Tinder and wishing they could go back in time and, you know, sort it out. But literally the whole story was like swipe left, swipe left, swipe left. And I was like,
yeah, 64 of his 99 words, perfect to read.
I've got to do a shout out to Delby because one of my friends seen him on Tinder recently. She got all excited. She goes, that hot comedian, you know. And I went, who?
That doesn't make sense.
And I said, oh, yeah, Delby, he's a sweetheart. Okay.
All just right, don't get him and Sean in a room together.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You guys just you chat too much? Or
pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Just can't shut you both up.
Well, we like to take it to dark places.
All right. So NY Events have a few comedy rooms happening at the moment. So check us out on nyevents.com.au/comedy. And thank you guys for coming in today. It's
thank
wicked.
You.
No worries.
And thank you for listening. You're all listening to Bounce Back. I'm Yvonne Fletcher. And next week we have another special
Who is guest. It? Can Ooh. We come back again?
You can come back again. I'd love
to. Is it Phil Cook? He usually follows us.
Yeah. Phil Cook.
I will have him on at some stage.
Phil Cook's always on the ass anymore. Nah, right. We love you, Cookie.
Take care.